So it's official. We're a little past the halfway point of the feast. At this time in the prophetic future, we're halfway into the millennium. We've spent hundreds of years in peace. Satan has been locked up and bound in the bottomless pit for hundreds of years. We reviewed that with Mr. Dove's messages. Satan's binding won't be forgotten about, though, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in this message. It will be an event that will be remembered and commemorated by the people in the millennium. Part of the reason we know Satan's binding won't be forgotten about in the millennium is because we have a record of a taunt that the people of the millennium will be speaking about Satan while he's trapped in the bottomless pit. It's incredibly interesting, and I reviewed a section of passage from Isaiah 14. And if you want to start turning there, we'll spend the first two-thirds of our sermonette in Isaiah 14. But Isaiah 14 and verse 3 records and 4 introduces the next section of chapter as a proverb, parable, or taunt. As about half the translations out there translate that word. If you have a New Living Translation Bible or NIV on your lap, the proverb will be recorded as a taunt. And we're going to look at it in that context in the sermonette. So let's go ahead and read Isaiah 14 and verse 3. Let me get over there. We'll read verses 3 and 4. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb or taunt against the king of Babylon and say, and I covered this taunt, which goes from verse 4 to verse 21 in a Day of Atonement message. And this is quite appropriate for the Day of Atonement. We can tell that it's talking about Satan because it talks about the king of Babylon in verse 4. And it relates that to Lucifer later in verse 12 of the passage. And so we know, since it's talking about Lucifer being bound in Sheol, that this is talking about Satan being bound in the bottomless pit. We know this taunt will be delivered in the day of the Lord because it's the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow. So it's not only appropriate for the Day of Atonement, it's also appropriate for the whole millennium. Because if you think about it, we are celebrating the time when Lord gives you, Jacob, rest from sorrow and from fear and hard bondage. And finally, we know it's a taunt or proverb that will be told over Satan, because notice verse 16 of the passage. It says, those who see you will gaze at you and consider, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms? So put this image in your head as we learn this is appropriate for the millennium. Picture a vision of this proverb from 4 through 21 being spoken by people that are coming to where they can see the bottomless pit. It has God's seal over it. They see a faint representation of Satan behind that seal in the bottomless pit, and he's weak and he's mute, and they are putting this taunt out there from verse 4 through 21 of this chapter. It's incredibly interesting. And if anyone wants to talk about it, I'd love to chat about it further, but that's more of a message appropriate for the atonement, so we can do that afterward. What I want everyone to notice for this message, verse 21 is the last verse of this taunt. Let's read that together. Chapter 14, verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. Prepare the slaughter for his, that is, Satan's children, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. We've learned a fair amount about cities at this Feast of Tabernacles, haven't we? Remember, Mr. Strauss talked about building godly cities. And remember, Mr. Powell talked about avoiding the sins of Babylon, that city, how Babylon represents Satan's system and Satan's way of doing things. So what we are learning here is that this is a warning to the people of the millennium. When we take those two concepts and put them into this passage, the people of the millennium cannot model life and society of the millennium in a manner of Babylon. I'll repeat that. This warning is to say that the people of the millennium cannot model life and society of the millennium in a manner that is of Babylon. The remainder of this passage expounds on this concept. It talks about the city of Babylon, the nation states of Assyria and Philistia, and it mentions that these are sons of the king of Babylon in the context of verse 21. Let's read the rest of this passage after the taunt through verse 24 through 32. And I want you guys to pick up on kind of how oppressive these systems of Babylon, Assyria, and Philistia are. So in verse 22, "For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name of the remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy waters. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought so, it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountain tread him underfoot. Then his yoke," so this is the yoke of Assyria, "shall be removed from them." You can go ahead and put the first image up, if you would. This yoke is not an egg yolk. Not an egg yolk. My 16-year-old Aaron drew that. So the yoke that we're talking about, the next slide, please. It's a heavy yoke that pulls a plow. That's the type of yoke we're talking about. It goes on to talk about Philistia's ways and how that produces poverty in the land. Let's pick up the chapter in verse 32. "What will they answer the messengers of the nations? That the Lord has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall take refuge in it." So we see here by this millennial, relating it to the millennium here in verse 32, that there are initial fulfillments of this, but the final fulfillment of this will be during these days, during the millennium. So this also has relevance for us today, for those of us who are walking as first fruits. The relevance for us is in the last half of verse 25 that we read, that the burden shall be removed from their shoulders. Brethren, Assyria's yoke, Babylon's yoke, Philistia's yoke is a burden. And we're not talking egg yolks. It is a heavy plow that is weighing us down. The burden is heavy, like the picture showed. But this warning is a reminder to kill the children of the king of Babylon. And this reminder will be going out to the people of Jacob in the millennium for hundreds of years. And people will need the constant reminder that Satan's yoke is heavy. Think of it. After being in peace for a few hundred years, how easy would it be to forget that? So how do we do this? How do we get ourselves to remove this yoke of Assyria? How do we teach those in the kingdom in the millennium to remove the yoke of Assyria? Well, we do that by replacing the burdensome yoke of Assyria with the light yoke of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that together in Matthew 11, verse 28. And let's have that final picture up here of the lighter yoke. As we turn to Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. This is Jesus Christ talking. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And hopefully you guys saw the two oxen tied together that are, there we are. They've got a light burden. So we see, brethren, that Jesus Christ's yoke is light, and we replace our burdensome yokes of Assyria, Babylon, and Philistia with it. And we do that by studying the Word of God. We do that by prayer, meditation, fasting. We do that by engaging with Jesus Christ with the words that he's written. So, brethren, we find ourselves work to do in this manner so that we can try to remove that heavy yoke as Satan has been allowed to put on us to a certain degree. And we must put in the effort to put on that light yoke of Jesus Christ. In doing so, we learn how to teach others how to crush the children of the King of Babylon during this millennial reign. We must learn how to crush these children of Babylonian kings within ourselves. We must put on the mind of Christ, as Philippians 2 tells us. We must develop the fruits of the Spirit. We must renew the inward man. This is how we replace those yokes. Doing the spiritual work now actually helps kill these systems of thought that Christ warned us about after Satan is locked up here in Isaiah 14. It helps destroy the oppression, the burden, and the poverty within our own lives and the lives of our community around us when we are putting in the work of putting the yoke of Jesus Christ on. Brethren, the future taunt of Satan in Isaiah 14 tells us to slaughter the children of the King of Babylon. We can slaughter these things now by putting on the yoke of Christ and removing the yoke of Assyria, Babylon, and Philistia in our lives. It will help us become better teachers in this age when we do.